From Luke chapter 24, verses 28 through 35. As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it is almost evening, and the day is now nearly over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?" That same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, "The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. Amen. This is God's word for God's people. Let us pray for illumination and for good soil of our hearts to receive and understand it. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and your word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Right. So, okay, now you're good to go back to your seats. Yes. This is our second Sunday with our current message series on why and how we do what we do in worship. We are considering four major actions in corporate worship. First, gather, listen, respond, and go out. And you see these four major elements of worship as you can find it in the order of worship printed in the bulletin. And I hope and pray that with this series, your joy of worship will increase. Your knowledge of a bigger role of worship in your life will go deeper. So last Sunday, we reflected on the meanings of worship and the reason why gathering is crucial here to the life of a believer. You know, the previous sermons are available on our Facebook pages, and also audio files are available on our church website in the sermon archives. So please check out the page. Today we reflect on the second part of worship. We listen. Listen. The United Methodist Book of Worship, in its introduction, relates the basic pattern of worship to the Emmaus account, which we read today, right? So this story will give us a frame to understanding, to understand the basic pattern of worship. These are four actions of worship. And then I quote, just partially, as Jesus opened the scripture to the disciples on the road to Emmaus and caused their hearts to burn, so we hear the scriptures opened to us, and out of the burning of our hearts, praise God. As they were faced with a decision and responded by inviting Jesus to stay with them, we can do likewise. So that way, listen and respond come together. Yes, God's word is proclaimed to us, and we listen and respond. Today, I'd like to clarify on a couple points in our understanding of this second element of worship, second action of worship, listening in worship. First, it's not about listening to the persons who speak in front of the congregations, like me, a preacher, right? It's not about me. It's about listening to the Spirit of God. I never consider myself as a person who speaks on behalf of God. No. Instead, I, just like you, as a follower of Christ and as a part of this church community, seek to model giving attention and honor to God. As a preacher, I speak of what I believe God says to me with hopes that this can be found relevant in your life. And I strive to apply what God says to me into my action. Here is a story. A preacher's a little boy in choir. I don't say that little boy was my little boy Clay. No. But he said, "Daddy, I notice every Sunday morning, when you first come out to lead worship and preach, you first in the chair, bow your head. What are you doing? Is it praying? Is it what you are doing there? The father explained, yes, I'm asking the Lord to give me a good sermon. The little boy said, then why doesn't he? Right? Again, that's not from Clay. Right, we all know that we shouldn't equal what preacher says to what God says, right? We listen for the Spirit of God. It is the Spirit of God who spoke to those who held pens to write and translate the Bible. And she is the same Spirit who continues to speak to, yes, to the preachers, but the preachers who humbly and sincerely seek to live their vocation and discern God's wills through the Word of God. And this Spirit, I believe, speaks to each and every one of us as we draw ourselves, open ourselves to God's Spirit, and seek God's Word for us. Again, we listen for the Spirit of God. Then how can we do it? Of course, it's not like listening to a person who speaks in the same language as we speak. And it's not like even being able to hear the singing of birds in the air, because it's not hearable. You say it. It's not hearable. It's not sound wave that comes to my ears. You say it. And I feel like I hear it. I hear your response there. And right, you are heard. Your questions are heard. Your doubts and your struggles to live more faithfully are heard to me. Probably, yeah, it's not what everyone speaks of to name their difficulty of understanding God's word. But I feel I can hear this from many of you. Because, hey, I am interested in you. I desire to know you better and understand you better. And most of all, because, like you, I too desire to lead a faithful and sound Christian life. Then what are written in the Gospels, in the voices of Jesus, about hearing and listening to God? Here is a couple verses. Whoever is from God hears the words of God. The reason you do not hear them is that you are not from God. Uh-oh. But, okay, this means that hearing God speak and listening to God's Spirit and discerning God's will is hardly possible to those who refuse to say that they are from God. More obviously, it is of no interest to those who say that I have nothing with God. So this is also written in the voice of Jesus in the same gospel, the Gospel of John. My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. Perhaps it's very true when it comes to listening to God and knowing God's will for us that it is first and foremost about who we say we are. Who we say we are. Who are you? If you say that you are a child of God, if you say that you have come from God and go back to God, in between you are always God's own. This way, if you humble yourselves and seek to hear and know God's Spirit and desire to follow God's will, instead of trying to make God yield to your will, then it won't be that difficult to hear God speaking to your heart. Throughout the Bible, what we read and what we are reminded of is that, as the Lord said to the Jeremiah, when you search for me, you will find me. If you seek me with all your heart, I will let you find me. What a promise. I will let you find me. In this light, we find the same assurance of God's promise. Now in Jesus' words, as part of the Sermon on the Mount, ask and it will be given to you. Search, and you will find, and knock, and the door will be opened for you. At least on this, to hear better God's voices and discern God's will, probably the question that we can start with this is this one. How eager we are in doing this. How eager we are in desiring to know God's words. So, then what can I say? Prepare the soil of your heart before you come to worship. Let's just start with that. Preachers shouldn't preach without preparation, right? It's the same applies to you, people in the pews. I encourage you to prepare your heart. Pray for an open and acceptant heart. Pray for a preacher. Pray for this time of gathering. And take the moment, once you come in here, to look through the order of worship and read the scripture passage before worship starts. And then, most of all, feel the hunger for God's word. And increase your expectation of what God has to say to you. Then once worship starts, sing praise songs and say prayers as you truly mean what you say and sing. During worship, how can we keep the soil of our hearts continue to be, fertile, productive? For the years, you have heard some ideas, right? Like what? Take a note. Or sit in front pews. Thank you, the little house. And Jeannie, always, right? And most of all, what? Not to take a nap, right? Don't take a nap during a sermon, right? Now, speaking of that, there are tons of funny stories about it. But here, I'd like to say one story. After worship, the new pastor was approached by one woman who turned bright red and said in a quiet, apologetic voice, hey, I hope you didn't take it personally, Pastor, when my husband walked out during your sermon. Yeah, I didn't wonder, the pastor replied. I hope he's not ill. Oh, no, said the woman. It's not a reflection on you, Pastor. I can assure you of that. My husband has been walking in his sleep since he was a child. So, stay awake. Okay, stay awake. Listen up. Listen for the Spirit of God. Okay? God speaks. Not just through the words orally spoken, but also beyond the words. So please be sure to open your hearts and minds and ears and eyes to God, regardless of what you think about the preacher. Look forward to God's moments, unexpected moments of encountering with God's message. God does not quit speaking. When the sermon ends, when worship ends, our active listening continues. It is an active listening to the Spirit of God when we listen with an expectation that the Holy Spirit will come upon us and speak to us and thereby challenge us or comfort us to mold us and transform us to the ways that we are called to be. And this active listening involves making, well, at least striving to make appropriate responses to the message. The disciples on the road to Emmaus in today's story responded by inviting Jesus to their house. Though they didn't know that it was Jesus, but they listened to God's message from this strange person. And their invitation shows their desire, deeper desire now, to learn more about the Messiah. Then after they recognized that it was the risen Christ who spoke to them on the road, walked with them and ate with them and broke bread to give them, then they told each other that they shall go. They shall respond by going to the other disciples in Jerusalem. Then they went to them and told them the story of how their hearts were burning within them when Christ spoke to them. Our response to the message of God must be like that. I hope you don't shy away from telling your story of how you have felt God's words and God's presence. Yes, share the story with your family and friends. In Matthew 13, verse 23, where we read the story of the good soil, he said, "As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields, in one case a hundredfold, in another 60, in another 30." As we share the story, it goes on and on to share God's word with the world. More people will have a more chance to accept God's invitation. More plainly, Jesus said in Luke chapter 11, verse 28, "Blessed, rather, are those who hear God's word and put it into practice." And here is where I actually stopped in my writing of the sermon, as I was struggling in my life later this past week. And I found myself writing, "Hey, I wanted to do it. I wanted to bear fruit of what God plants and grows in me." As I said multiple times previously, one of the prayers that I repeat over and over as a preacher and as a person who desires to live faithfully is this: "O Lord, mold me into a practitioner of that which I preach." I wanted to practice it first. I wanted to live by the words that God gives to me. I wanted to change my life. I wanted to change my attitude. I wanted to change my manner of speaking. And I want to change my words and my behaviors that they can reflect more God's teachings and God's intentions for me. Then I admit and confess that I fail. I fail to live by the words and teachings of God. Yeah, then I said in my writing, "I need Jesus. I will continue to do so tomorrow and on the days after." I continue wanting to listen and respond to God. You know what? Thankfully, I know God doesn't quit speaking. God continues to speak, and God continues to help. And God will do so for sure in worship. Thanks be to God. Amen. Amen.